just to recap, we're not going to be defining and dealing with the entire sugya of Bukhiriyah. We're going to be focusing on one aspect. Remember, why we want to find this out is because we're trying to understand what's Kabbalah's Yisurim Ba'ava. To do that, we need to understand Avraham Avinu. To understand Avraham Avinu, we need to understand Adam Arishon. That's where we're holding. To understand Adam Arishon, we have to understand Bukhira. That's the problem with Torah. In order to understand one thing, you have to understand everything. That's why you keep going around in circles. Bechira amitis perushay te'ilois neged haregesh hatev. This is not a definition of Bechira. This is one aspect of the manifestation of Bechira. It is a action which goes against one's natural tendencies. Kashe Adam reitze lochol, because he wants to eat. Hadchafet tivi shelo maniyot tolochol. His natural tendencies, his desire to eat, drives him towards eating. L'chein imu monayes atzmoy melochel. He holds himself back from eating. Hu bochei, choosing. He's choosing not to eat. Hu miknatek mimareches hasibes v'amaseivavim. He detaches himself from the system of causes and effects. Hamakifosei that surrounds him. B'boichei shelo lochel. And he chooses not to eat. An animal can't choose. He's hungry and he's in front of his feeding trough. He eats. He can't hold himself back from achila. The child as well. The child as well. You can't tell the child, I'm putting the food in front of you, and you're starving, hungry, don't eat. Once again, this is not the definition of Bechira, it's an aspect of Bechira. It's an expression of Bechira. You're using your Bechira in this particular area. HaKadosh Baruch Hu haniach es Adam HaRishon beGan Eden, v'tziva alav shelo lo ichol me'etz hadas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Adam HaRishon in the Gan, in Gan Eden, and commanded him not to eat from Eitz Hadas. He didn't take away from him the ability to eat from Eitz Hadas. In a good look, he just said, I don't want you to eat from Eitz Hadas. If you want to eat, it's there. I'm not preventing you, I'm just letting you know that I want you to. The Yana Shalom Rishon, Neseres Bechira Chavshis. But Adam Rishon had Bechira. How you slave Bechira, by the way, at that level is hard for us to understand. How Adam HaRishon has Bechira, very hard to understand. The Malachim, the Ashitas, in the Rishonim that hold that the Malachim have Bechira. Malachim have Bechira, but they can never use it. Because they're so close to Hashem, that they see the Emes so clearly, that they can't use their Bechira, but they have Bechira. That's not a subject and why they have Bechira, they can't use it, whatever, but that's the word. It's the same as if you're standing next to a cop. Do you have Bechira to steal or not? Yeah, but you're unlikely to use a Bechira to steal, unless you're a Meshuggana. You're not going to steal in front of the cops. So how Adam HaRishon had Bechira at this level, the Nefesh Chaim discusses, the sugya, his Bechira is very different to the Bechira we have. Adam HaRishon's Bechira is not the Bechira we have. Adam HaRishon had a very different Bechira. Adam HaRishon was Kulu Kodesh. He had no zig of Tumah in him at all. And the Yetzirah was Kulu Chitzonit. It was an external Yetzirah. He had to decide whether to walk with the Yetzer Hara or not, but it had nothing inside of him. After the Chet the Chilus of the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara now became moved within us. It's not an external force anymore, it's an internal force. So we don't even understand what Adam HaRishon's Bechira looked like. It's a very different Bechira to the Bechira we have. Our struggle is an internal struggle. Adam HaRishon's struggle was an external struggle. It was an external enemy. Whereas our enemy is an internal enemy. Be that as it may, Adam HaRishon had Bechira. Should he listen to the Koyla Shem or lo? V'Adam HaRishon nitzel es koyach ha-Bechira sheloi v'yishtamesh bo b'kivan alo nachon. He used his Bechira and he went down the wrong path. V'baruch aloichol meitzadas, and he chose to eat from meitzadas. Which was not the Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem was not to eat from meitzadas. V'nichneem ul'oysam ha-reches tiviz shaleya ne'ma Kinechmad Aitz Namora, he got drawn off to that natural, whatever that means on his level once again. Adam HaRishon was holding somewhere on the level that we daven to today. Adam HaRishon was almost 95% holding in the Yud Kei Vav Kei, whatever that means. So what it means that he was drawn off to his natural tendency at that level, we have no idea. But the Pasuk says, Kinechmad Aitz Namora, it was beautiful, the tree to look at. Kitaiva Hulai Naim, and it was a lust for thine eye. The eyes were drawn off to it. He didn't use his bechira to detach himself from the system of cause and effect, the natural system. Rather, he used it to put himself into that system. That's why we're here today. That's not what Hashem wanted. Now you're not going to be eating supernaturally. Now if you want to eat, you're dovuk in the physical world. Completely dependent on the physical world. He now is banished from the gun where he lived. And he's now got to plow and plant and harvest and cut and grind and all the malachas that one needs in order to survive. Okay, that's Adam HaRishon in a nutshell. It's obviously, you understand. Even if you got the whole picture, you haven't got anything. Until Avraham Avinu came along and used his Bechira in a way that he was not going to do whatever he wanted. Avraham Avinu got up and said, I'm going to fight all these natural tendencies only to do the Rotzon Hashem. Avraham Avinu Echlit Ki Hu Yachzil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Dugmas HaRishon. So Avraham Avinu decided, what you lost in Adam HaRishon, I'll give you back. Hu HaYochid Shebishvilo Nivra Elam, and he now became the Yochid Shebishvilo Nivra Elam. He was the purpose of the Bria now. V'kach Oyim, Ani Eyeh Zeh She'enatzel Es Koyach HaBechir Revoifan Anochin, I'll be the one that will use my Bechira in the correct way, and I will choose to use, to go against my natural desires. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him Nisyonos, where he had to not only strengthen himself, not just against do you go to the all you can eat for $20 restaurant. Not just against the crude, lowly physical desires. You start going through Avraham Avinu's nishaynus, you understand he was being tested. He was mevatling the most sensitive feelings that a person doesn't even know that he's got. Avraham Avinu was mevatling those. The nishaynus of the Akedah is the obvious one. Everything actually said that Hashem didn't want him to kill Yitzchak. His entire emotional being knew that Hashem didn't want him to shecht Yitzchak. He knew. He knew it wasn't the Rotzon Hashem, and he was right. It wasn't the Rotzon Hashem. It means he had to go for the first time in his life to do the Rotzon Hashem, knowing it wasn't the Rotzon Hashem. How do you override that desire? You have a deep desire to do the Rotzon Hashem. Hashem tells you to do something that you know is not the Rotzon Hashem, and you still go do it. How do you do that? It's an impossible test. The Kedu and Ramon Chamel explains, it was an impossible test. Complete Bilbul Adas. No way, you don't know what you do. You don't understand anything. But Hashem, you heard Hashem telling you to do something, go do it. It's completely counterintuitive. Lech Lecho. Gemara says a person has a special chayin. There's a special attachment that a person has to the place of his birth. Lech Lecho, where to? Just go. The first plane that lands next to you, you get on and you go. I don't know where you're going. You go. That was the word. That was the easiest of the tests. It says by the Leviah, Asara's Leviah. What was Avraham Avinu's problem? He just passed the Akedah. You don't get better than that, right? What is it? What's the reward? His wife dies. What's the next good news? I promise you the whole of Eretz Yisrael. You can't even find a grave. You can't even find somewhere to bury you. You've got to go deal with the biggest, you know, the funeral parlor swindlers in the world. You've got to deal with these guys, mamish, the worst of the worst, the lowest, and pay an untold fortune. You don't need to pay for that grave. Untold fortune. And he understood what he was feeling. Ad kedavid, Chazal say he didn't be mad. He wasn't maspidah. He wasn't maspidah. Says he came to be maspidah and he didn't. Why not? So Chazal say he was terrified that if he start being maspidah, he might have a machshava of Hashem. What are you doing to me? So it wasn't maspidah. You imagine you pass the test in the Kaid and the reward is your wife dies. You can't find somebody to bury her until you pay an untold fortune for it, and you hold yourself back from saying a hesped.
Malif kota, he did.
He cried, but he didn't maspid. He wouldn't articulate what he was feeling because he was scared, Chazal say, that he would be right if after Hashem.
He's asking a good question. It says lispod the sarah velif kota. It says both grammatically, it's identical. Lispod velif kota. So why do we learn that he cried by one, but he didn't?
It's a gemara. You have to go learn up the Chazal. If Vaisnish is on in front of me, I'm just thinking what Chazal say. Why? Yeah, whatever. That's all we're learning now. It says he only cried a little bit. A small cough. He only cried a little bit. He didn't cry a lot. But he felt that it could be from the crying. He felt not to be maspid. I'm saying that the sensitivity that Avraham Avinu developed were way beyond our understanding. Wasn't crude physical desires that he was fighting against. It was these subtle emotions even that he was fighting against. That he was mevatling and using his bechira to give back to Hashem.
Let me understand something. He's the first one to use Bechira, or the first one to use Bechira to use it for Hashem?
Rambam says he was the entire generations from Adam to Noach and from Noach to Abraham angered Hashem.
But they're
and
also
was
using
the
their Bechira to anger Hashem. It's also Bechira.
We're talking about this. The Kambel said, I'll give you back Adam Arishan to use his Bechira. He didn't say that one to use the Bechira. Adam Arishan used his Bechira incorrectly.
Okay,
we're talking about someone who came along to use his Bechira correctly. Thought your kasha was what about what
no,
about
Shem? That was my question.
No, but I thought your question was what about there were tzaddikim before Avraham Avinu.
Nachon, say dibarnu
kibal. Lord dibarnu. Well, where was their Bechira? Kesef Mishta asked that kasha already. The Ravid asked that kasha on the Rambam. Where was Shem Va'eva? Where was Mishu Shalach? Where was Chanaich? There were tzaddikim. What did they miss out on that Avraham Avinu was the hero of the day? There were great tzaddikim who knew Hashem. They were Nevi'im. Noach sacrificed his life for 180 years building a teva. Every day he sacrificed his life. Why was it? What? I thought that was your question.
Yeah.
Adam Arishon was the first person to use his Bechira to give back to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Adam Arishon. Who gamle lachem betchilas daka beregesh hamishpachti va'azif v'zatzer meladat ha'beisav oviv.
And Avraham Avinu then climbed one step at a time, one level with each nisoyin, he went higher and higher.
Slowly, slowly, more and more, he was mevatli's rotzen to Hashem. And he used his bechira 100% correct. He created in himself the perfect Adam. Adam amasugalit natek min achoyme uledabek betveikas mukhletas boyerem. Completely manateked from the physical world and totally dovuk in Hashem. Mitzalelamdim ki atafkid arishon shenotel Avraham Avinu al atzmoy. So what was the first tafkid? That Avraham Avinu, we said Avraham Avinu had two tafkidim. What was the first tafkid that we inherited that Avraham Avinu placed upon us, his grandchildren? We have to become that yochid that the world was created for. So if anybody asks you, what's your tafkid in the world? Your tafkid in the world is to know that I'm that individual that the world was created for. Me alone, only me. That's the first thing that a Jew needs to know. Bishvili nivra olam. Chayv Adam loimoy. Every day a person has a chiv to say, Bishvili nivra olam. Do you know what that means? There's a chapter early on, we saw the chapter called Bishvili nivra olam. is it can
only. And he has to wear two pockets, one saying Bishri Yavro Alam, the other one saying Ani Offer the Afer.
No, no, never said that. No. You saying that, I'm not saying that here.
Didn't say that then?
Not yet, not yet yet, no, no. I'll read it again.
No, not in this precise moment, but somewhere else in his safety.
Maybe. Now we're telling you this is your tafkid. You have to know it's the first tafkid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avraham Avinu gave you. Bishvili Nivra Olam. The world is created for you. By the way, it's the same thing. If you understand that Bishvili Nivra Olam, you understand Eifer Ofer. That's the ikakim of Bishvili Nivra Olam. It's not two different things. Okay. That's another whole Ramadi one day we'll talk about. What did Avraham Avinu when he said offer of Aifani? He wasn't saying I'm a nothing. He wasn't saying I'm nothing. He could have said that by saying offerani. He could have said that by saying Aifarani. Why did he say both?
One to show us that we as the Bnei Yisrael who will come from him will also be stepped on like people who come to us.
Cute, that's an ass pshat, but that's not the MS pshat of what he meant when he said Aifrava Afani. You want to hear pshat? That's not. That's what people say. Well, but that's not the depth of the final definition of what he was saying. Well, we need to learn from it.
Also that you can create. There's still potential in one of them, but in one of them there's no potential. The aether. There's no potential. It's something to do with potential, isn't it?
Something you can read, something you can read. The past and the future.
Yeah, the past and the future.
Close. Warm. Warm. What's Eifer? What's Eifer? You take something and you break it down to its most basic constant components. That's what it is. If you knew how, you could take the Eifer and you can reconstruct it, reconstitute it back to what it was. You take this cup and you burn it. Everything of the cup is still there. It's just being deconstituted. If you would know how, we don't know how scientifically, if you would know how, you could take that Eifer and reconstruct it back into what it was. Yeah, so what is burning? Burning is taking something and breaking it down to its most basic components. What is offer? Offer is something where you plant something in order for it to grow. Right? When Avraham said, Eifer va'offer ani, you know what he said? I build everything that I need to build, and then you know what I do? I break it down, I put it in the ground, I give it to you, Hashem, and then I grow the next thing. And then when I've got that full, I break that down and I nullify and I give it back to you, Hashem, and then I grow the next thing. I'm never ever constant. I'm always building, breaking down, building. Building, breaking down, building. When I wake up in the morning, I'm not the same person that went to sleep last night. When I wake up in the morning, the guy that goes to sleep tonight is not the same guy that woke up this morning. When I take 3 steps back from Shmona Esrei, at the end of Shmona Esrei, it's not the same guy that took 3 steps back at the beginning of Shmona Esrei. I'm constantly changing. I'm always building.
So
that's how they learn pshat. That's how the fortune learn pshat in Eifer va'Ofani. I'm taking what I am, fully actualized, and recognizing that that's nothing. What I do with that, I plant that and I grow the next stage. The next stage. That's what Avraham Avinu told the Kodesh Baruch. And that's exactly Bishvili Nivra Olam. Sorry, 1 second. That's exactly Bishvili Nivra Olam.
We say that the world is created each time. That means it's a constant.
The Chol Yom Oisit Tomit says every moment the world's being recreated. We just don't have the, we can't see it. It's too fast. But that's what's happening. The world's being destroyed, recreated. That was Avraham Avinu understood. That you saw it. It's exactly what he understood. Tomit Oisit Masibay is Tomit. Now all those other pshatim are not wrong. They just don't go to the heart of it. Now you have the clarity. Now you can apply them. You see them everywhere. That's Bishvili Nivra Olam. I'm responsible for making this world, for building this world, for everything that goes in the world. I'm responsible to make that happen. And if I don't make it happen, no one else can. Because my tafkid is unique. And if I don't build it, no one else is going to build it. No one else can build it. Finish Poshut. That's the first tafkid that a Jew needs to know is Bishvili Nivra Olam. I am responsible and I'm a Kodesh Baruch Hu's only child and no one else is going to do it. If you don't do it, it's not going to get done. So a person has to know what his tafkid is. Hatafkid Hashayini, so what's the second tafkid? Shenot Avravinu Alatzmoy Hayeletaken Olam B'malku Shakai. What does that mean? To take the entire world, the entire Bria, and give that back to Hashem. First you take yourself and you give that back to Hashem, and when you've done that, you take everybody along with you. You schlep everyone back with you. Kunata Eshel, you planted a tree. Yichnis Orichim Velimbedes Kola Ivrim Vashovim Kiyesh Hashem Echad Shukaina Shemaim Varitz. He planted a tree, he opened up a little kiruv tent there in the middle of the desert, and he went and he taught the entire world. There's a Kodesh Baruch Hu who rules the world. Avram and Sarah went about to Megaya the entire world and bring them all back to Hashem. These two tafkidim, Bishvilin Evroilam and the Sakam Oilam B'Malkul Shakai, those two tafkidim were given to Yitzhak and Yaakov. Tomorrow we'll continue and see how that manifests and where we fit into all of this. By the way, where do you know in Chumash, give you a riddle, you'll get this, you're good at Chumash, that you see that everybody has a unique tafkid. If he doesn't do it, it's not going to get done.
Moshe Rabbeinu being the monkey, running to Rosh being false.
Where do you see that if he didn't do his job wouldn't have got done?
Hashem told him it has to be you, Dafka, because you're Oral Sefasayim, that you have to be the one, because Paro denies me. Oh, hang on, let me just think for a minute.
Okay, I've got a better place though. I've got a better place that's more relevant to us. There's a din in Milchoma, an Oiche Milchoma. Before the soldiers go out to war, what do? They ask him a bunch of questions. Oh, if you ever buy a chodosh, so go home.
Plant a vineyard.
You're going to go home.
Well, and whoever's afraid.
Okay, put the afraid guys behind. They're not going to help me. Once again, you built a house and you haven't dedicated it yet. So don't go to war. Why not? Because maybe you'll die and you won't dedicate the house. So the house won't get dedicated.
By someone else. It's a matter of jealousy.
It says someone else will dedicate. So someone else will dedicate it. So what? What's the problem? We have a war on our hands, yeah, gentlemen. I mean, that's the reason you don't go to war. I understand being afraid. You don't want afraid guys.
It's a matter of selfishness. If I can't have it, I don't want anyone else to have it.
No. Why send him back? Tell him to go work on his midas. They don't send him back. Don't go to war, because maybe you're down. Someone else will dedicate it. I heard from Ramosha Eisman, Stagin Guzuntan once. He said, you know what the Torah is telling you? If you don't dedicate it, it can never dedicate it. You dare not go to war and get killed. If you don't Makadish this Isha, no one can Makadish her the way you were going to Kadish her. Hashem is a tough kid for you in this world. You go harvest that vineyard. If you don't harvest it, the next one will harvest it, but not in the way you would have. There's something chos in the Bria. That's the depth of that shtick. You've got a tough kid in this world. Hashem says, don't worry, I'll take care of the war. There's another lesson here. We don't need everybody to go to war. We send a few of the, you know, the last, the most righteous 10 or 15 that are left, you know. And scared means scared that they haven't done a sin. So we'll take the last three or four tzaddikim, you know, take Reb Gershon and Reb Chaim and whatever, we'll send them out to war, and everybody else go home. That's the vote. If you don't learn that Daf Gemara, it's never going to get learned. What do you mean? There's 30,000 people learning Shas every day that are covering ground, guys learning 50 Daf a day, whatever. What's my little Amad Yoimi? You're Amad Yoimi. The way you learned that Daf, no one else can learn the Daf like that. And if you didn't learn it and you were supposed to, it'll never get learned. Now you know what you're responsible for. Deep pressure. Have a nice day, Rabbi. No.